Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, truly we are thankful that we are able to be here in thine house and to have thy word of life before us. And yet, Father, we are in such great need of thee each and every time we come into thy presence. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst provide grace and that thou wouldst provide strength and wisdom. And Lord, even as we always do, as we always need these things. And so we just pray, Lord, that thy presence would be felt among us, that we would be encouraged in our faith, that we'd be drawn closer to thee, and that we would have a desire to live for thee and magnify thy name because thou art so worthy. This we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For our reading this evening, let's turn to the Old Testament and read from 2 Samuel chapter number 9. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. That's page 378 in the Pew Bible. And David said, "Is there yet any that left that is of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show him the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Emiel, in Lodibar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Emiel, from Lodibar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded to his servant, so shall thy servant do." "As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's son." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. May God bless. The Proverbs give us good instruction, good wisdom, and one of the things that they say, that Proverbs says, is that we should not forget his word, that his word should be so important to us that we would not forget it, and that with our heart we would keep the commandments of the word. That means that with everything that we have, from our core being, that we would strive to keep his commandments as they are written here for us. And as a result of that, as a result of loving the Lord and keeping his word and writing his word upon our hearts, the Bible says that we will have long life and that we will see peace. This is the result of keeping his word in the forefront of our mind. And then also in Proverbs there, it also speaks of having mercy and truth bound about our necks, that would be so important to us that we would have mercy and truth, we would not forsake that, and that we would write them upon the table of our hearts. Again, to the core of our being, that mercy and truth would be written on the core of our being, on our hearts. And if we do so, we will find favor with both God and man. So as we keep God's word, his blessings flow to us. There is fruit of that. And we receive of his promises a long life. We receive of his promises peace in our hearts. And we receive, as we fulfill his word, that we would have a favor with both God and man. And so we see here King David. As the Bible says, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that King David was a man after God's own heart. He was one who followed the Lord. He was one who kept God's word. He was one who had mercy and truth bound about his neck. And he had favor with both God and man. And as he kept the commandments of God, he had long life. And he had peace, and even as it was in this time for him. And so we read here of a time that Israel was prospering. In King David's kingship, this was a time where things were going very well for them. And King David had subdued the Syrians. He had subdued the Philistines. The Edomites and the Moabites had become servants unto Israel, and they were serving them. And the Lord prospered King David at this time, even as it says here in the previous chapter, and the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. Again, because David kept his word and had his word in his heart. And we see that here in the first verse that we read here together. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" This was King David's desire, to search out, to look for, not to take a placid or a passive role, but an active role with intentionality. He's looking for someone in Saul's house for Jonathan's sake, that he might show kindness to. And again, this is what God did for us too. Even as we prayed together, that we see that God's kindness was shown toward us when, as it speaks there in the New Testament, that the kindness and the love of God our Savior was shown unto us. We received of that, and it was a great kindness. And this kindness was shown unto by King David. It was a part of who he was. It could have been very easy for King David to take this opportunity, now that he's conquered his enemies that were round about him, the Syrians and the Philistines, and he has the Moabites and the Edomites serving him. It would have been a very natural for him to kind of take his ease and allow things to just roll for a little while and relish in these good times. But no, David took this time to go search out, is there anyone in the house of Saul that he might show kindness to? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when he had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show him show the kindness of God unto him?" King David went out. Is there somebody? Yes, there is somebody. That somebody came, and King David asked him, "I want to show the kindness of God." This is what King David wanted to show, was the kindness of God unto him. And Ziba says, "Well, yeah, yes, Jonathan has a son." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And he gives him the information of where he was. And then it says, again, King David being proactive. He wasn't one who simply was passive, but with intentionality, he went out and he says, "Okay, we'll go out and fetch him out of that house of Maker, in Lodibar." And so when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. So here was a relatively young man who was lame, and he was part of the old kingdom, the old establishment that no longer that family was in, was reigning, but now it was another family. It was the house of Jesse and David that was reigning in as king of Israel. And and so when that transfer happened, Mephibosheth fell into obscurity. There was no more name for him, and he no longer owned the things that his grandfather had once owned. So when he comes to David, he falls on his face and he does reverence. And David calls him by name, and Mephibosheth answers back, "Behold thy servant." And David says unto him, "This is the kindness that was coming forth from King David, a man after God's own heart. The kindness of God was coming forth from David." And David says, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake." Remember, Jonathan and David were very good friends. "And will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father." And it's actually grandfather, but it would be in his lineage. And he's saying, "I will restore thee all that land, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." This was the kindness that came from King David. There was nothing that he had to do this. He sought this out of himself. He took initiative. He did this with intentionality. And he showed unto Mephibosheth this kindness. All that land that Saul had, it was all now going to be retitled back into Mephibosheth's name, and Ziba and his sons and his servants, which would have been 35 men, were to till that land and to provide food for Mephibosheth's family. Mephibosheth already had a son at this time as well. And then also on top of that Mephibosheth would be sitting at the king's table each and every meal that they would have, even as if Mephibosheth was one of King David's sons. This was a kindness that was great, and it was shown here by King David. Recall that there was times when King Saul was so angry with David that there was times when King Saul, with intentionality, with purpose, threw a javelin at the wall, intending to hit David. And it was twice that David escaped out of that situation. And then David was always on the run, and King Saul was just pursuing him continuously. And here's King David now, these years later, and he says, "I want to show kindness unto the house of Saul. I want to show kindness unto the house of Saul. The Saul that threw a javelin at me, the Saul that pursued me, the Saul that made me live in caves. This was the kindness that King David had shown unto Mephibosheth and to Saul's house." And so Mephibosheth bows himself and says, "What is thy servant that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am?" He understood his place. He understood that kindness wasn't due unto him. Mephibosheth didn't earn that kindness from King David. And he's wondering, what did I do? How come this is that you would show such kindness to me? And then King calls unto Ziba and said unto Ziba, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to his house." And so again, he tells him that your 10 sons and your 15 sons and your 20 servants will till the land that I'm giving ownership to Mephibosheth. And Ziba says, "All that the king hath commanded thy servant, so shall he do." So we see here a beautiful time where Mephibosheth then dwelt in Jerusalem, and Mephibosheth now is sitting with the king in all his splendor, though he didn't deserve to sit there. He's sitting there, and that kindness was given unto him. King David, a man after God's own heart, kindness was shown unto Mephibosheth in such a great way. And again, as we prayed together, that kindness, but even to a greater level, was shown to us by our Lord. He showed unto us a kindness that surpassed any reasonableness. It's a great, great love that our God had for us in what he did for us. And he's asking us that we would also have that kindness as well. So let's go through some scriptures here in the New Testament that speak to the kindness of God and what the Lord is asking of us as well. In Titus chapter 3, we read about what we once were and then how we are because of the kindness of God. It says, "Speak evil of no man. Don't be a brawler, one who would engage in not only arguments, but actually physical fighting, but be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were also sometimes foolish." This is what we once were. We were foolish. We were disobedient. We were deceived. We were serving divers lusts and pleasures. We were living in malice and in envy, hateful and hating one another. This is what we once were. This is what we once were. Hateful and hating one another. Then it says, but, now in contrast to that, after that the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Mephibosheth didn't do anything that he deserved King David's love. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. This is what the love of God has been shown and displayed unto us, and we have felt it, and we can't ignore it. And it's made a huge impact in our life. Without his love, there would be nothing. What would it matter if we had faith if God didn't love us? What would it matter if we did all that we could possibly do, but God didn't love us? It was because of his great love and the kindness that he had shown unto us when we didn't deserve it. And so who are we then to have experienced the kindness of God and then refuse to share that kindness with others? And this is what he's calling us to. We were once hateful and hating one another. We once spoke evil of others, but we don't do that anymore because the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, has appeared unto all mankind. And so we walk in this newness of life, showing his great love and his kindness, even as King David did to Mephibosheth. Romans says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." This is a display of showing the kindness of God has been given unto me. It's been given unto me in a full measure. And so because it's been given unto me, we are to be kindly affectioned with brotherly love and in honor esteeming one another. This is what is expected. Wouldn't it be very strange, and wouldn't King David be very displeased if Mephibosheth didn't show kindness to the sons of King David? As they sat there around the table and Mephibosheth was being rude and angry and hateful, what would King David think? So likewise in our hearts, we need to show that love that has been shown unto us, the kindness that has been rendered unto us has to be displayed as well. Being kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. And then we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible, the chapter that speaks of love. And it says that charity is kind. Charity is kind. Very simple teaching, not very hard. Charity is kind. One who is generous, one who is considerate. This is what we are being called to. And this is what we are to display in our lives. Ephesians chapter 4 also says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." With all malice. and be ye kind one to another. This is the word of God. So as we began in the this evening and looking at Proverbs, that we are to have God's word in our hearts, written upon our hearts. And his word says, and be ye kind one to another. And if we are kind then one to another, the Bible says there's some promises. And that promise is that if as you keep God's word, that you will have long life and you will have peace. You will have peace. And we know that when we show kindness, that we do have peace. We have a joy. We know God has been good to us, and we're sharing that goodness with others, and we have a peace about ourselves. And that as we have mercy and truth bound about our neck, that we fall into favor with both God and man. Mercy, having mercy. And so the Bible is saying here, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This is the identity that we need to have as believers. We can't expect those into the world to show kindness, but we refrain from it. Kindness is powerful. Kindness, when it is displayed and when it is shown, it is more of a difference maker than when one comes with his authority and with his power and makes things to happen. Kindness is a difference maker. It moves into in the hearts of people. And then it multiplies from there, too. When we experience kindness, we typically show kindness back. And so it's a powerful attribute in our life as a Christian, a characteristic, that as we show kindness, it makes a big difference in people's lives. Likewise, when we show kindness, the person that's receiving that kindness probably needs it more than we would know. And so when we show kindness unto others, they're probably very, very appreciative, and they are probably in a place where they really, really needed it. And so, again, when we follow God's word, and we keep his word in our hearts, and we allow his word to be in our hearts, we have peace in our hearts. And when we show kindness one to another, that peace indwells an individual, and then that kindness it provides a beautiful environment in our homes when kindness is shown in our homes, likewise in the church, in our communities, where we align ourselves with the Word of God, where the Word of God tells us to be kind one to another and to esteem one another highly, then things will be beautiful for us, and the Lord will be magnified, and others would be drawn unto the church as well, being kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love and in honor, preferring one another. King David was gracious. King David was kind. At a time when he didn't have to be. He didn't have to be. Everything was smooth sailing now for him. He subdued his enemies. The Edomites, Moabites were all serving him. There was peace in the land. There was prosperity. He didn't have to show kindness. It wasn't obliged of him to do so. But he, with intentionality, showed kindness. And he showed kindness to one who was of the household of him who was his enemy, who did not like King David, but yet he showed kindness. And there was a blessing in that. And so the Bible says that King David was a man after God's own heart. Let's yield ourselves to the Word of God. Let's allow ourselves to read the Word and to meditate upon it. Allow it to come into our very hearts and into the core of our being. And then allow that to make itself manifest in our lives as we live it out and do what He would have us to do. God has been gracious to us. God has been kind to us far more than that which we deserve. At the end of our years, when our life is coming to a close, we will have abundant peace, knowing that we showed kindness wherever it was, wherever we could. Amen.
King David, aside from Jonathan and the love that he had for Jonathan and Jonathan for him, he owed Mephibosheth nothing. But he made a vow with Jonathan. Well, we can read when he heard that when Jonathan had died, he says, "How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful." So this is King David and his love that he had for Jonathan. And we see that as he searches out, because we heard much today about love, showing love, kindness. So Providence had raised up King David. It wasn't he himself. It was God who did that. And in life, Providence will bring us low also. But in order to show kindness, David had to do something. You know, we might say, well, I didn't know there was a need. Because we perhaps shut ourselves off to need, because it costs us something to know when someone is brought low. It costs us something. It doesn't have to be money, but it costs us sleepless nights. It costs a heart that is sorrowful, that turns to the Lord and pray for someone. It costs us something. But in order to be able to show kindness, we have to search those out, as King David did. He sought out to find Jonathan's son. And we can read in the same thing in Ephesians, where it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So God has searched us out because of Christ. Just as King David looks at Jonathan, did he see a cripple? We don't see him ever mention anything about him being a cripple. His love for Jonathan, he saw Jonathan. He didn't know Mephibosheth at all. He didn't even know him. But when he saw Mephibosheth, he saw Jonathan. And that's what God does when he sees us, when we are in Christ. He doesn't see our sins. Those are blotted out. He doesn't see that. He sees Christ. And so, dear ones, it says here that we are blessed in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So we have been accepted in Christ by God the Father. And just as Jonathan here, or David, had accepted Mephibosheth through Jonathan. And so, dear ones, when we look at showing kindness and being kind, David had to make an effort to search him out. And so we also, because of Christ, being in Christ, living in him, we also are to be ready and willing. If Providence has raised us up, it's not for our own indulgence. It's to seek out those who are lost. The brother in the prayer mentioned that you may feel invincible. And you know what? Sometimes we older ones, we know we're not invincible. We know we are around the corner. Death is awaiting us. But do we really think about it being tomorrow, being tonight? You know, every day is a gift. Every day is a gift. And let's treat it as such, as a gift from God. And let's return unto him the praises that are due unto him for the gifts that he gives unto us each and every day. Amen.